So let's take a look at today's message. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 3. Maybe you want to take your phone and just type in Joshua 3, and it'll NIV is the version that I'll be using, and it'll just come right up on your phone, and while you're at it, turn your phone off. Cue phone. Perfect. That worked out great. So a lot of life is spent waiting to find out how things will turn out. Is that true? A lot of life is spent waiting to find out how things are going to turn out. We wonder how our kids will turn out. I'm still wondering, right? I think our youngest is 29. I'm still wondering how they're going to turn out. And my daughter, Karis, is with us today. We wonder how our relationship is going to turn out. We wonder how the election will turn out. We wonder how our job, how our working life, our career is going to turn out. How will our retirement turn out? And as we wait, knowing that God cares about us helps us to carry on. Faith is trusting God before we know the end of the story. Trusting God before we know the end of the story. So this morning, we're going to continue through the book of Joshua. We started last week. You probably know the story. God is leading his people from the desert to the promised land after the death of Moses. So after wandering in the same desert for 40 years, while that whole rebellious generation died in the desert, now a new generation is about to enter a new territory. How is this going to turn out? Will they be able to conquer the land? Will they be able to finally settle down? They've been moving and moving and moving their whole lives. So let's see. I'm in Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to start right in verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Now you might think that to establish his authority, Joshua would say, hey everybody, Moses is gone, I'm the new leader, keep your eyes on me. Last week we saw that it was God who was leading the people. It's God's presence with them that helped them to be strong and courageous. We learn from Joshua chapter 1 that there are two ways for us to experience God's strength. First, we become students of God's word. Now, if you were here last week, hopefully you picked up our reading plan. So this is available pretty much for every series of messages. This one is particularly cool, and I noticed on the railing on the way out, if you didn't pick up a plan, please go ahead and get that. And it has a reading for every day. So I don't know about you, but I love to read the Bible in the morning. I am part of Spring Creek Gym down the road, and while I do my cardio, I read my Bible every day. I do it in the morning, so it kind of sets the tone for the day. It gives God a voice in my head. Because there's a lot of other voices. How can I be strong and courageous? I become a student of God's word so that I can know the heart of God. So I invite you to do that. And when we read our Bibles, we find that here is a God we can trust, even when we don't know how things will turn out. Here's a God who will give us strength and courage. The second way we can become strong and courageous is to obey God. The transforming power of God touches our life when we do what God tells us to do. Obedience opens the door for God to work in us. So here's a clear command of God. When you see the Ark of the Covenant head toward the Jordan River, fall in behind the priests who are carrying it. So just let's talk about the Ark of the Covenant for a moment. You probably know what it is. It's really a sign of God's presence with his people God, when he was putting together the temple, that portable place of worship, said that they should make a box. He gave them the dimensions out of wood and then cover it with a thin layer of gold. And then the top of the Ark of the Covenant are the angels, and that the wings of the angels form a place for God's presence. Now, we know God is everywhere, but in a special way, his presence touched the earth on the Ark of the Covenant. It was so holy and sacred, and it was kept in the Holy of Holies, the most sacred part of the temple that was only entered once a year by one person, the high priest on the Day of Atonement. So the Ark of the Covenant is kind of a big deal. The Ark represented God's power and presence with his people. So when you see the Ark, it's hard to miss. Fall in behind. But don't get too close. Follow it at a distance of 2,000 cubits, which is about a half mile. That's pretty far, isn't it? That's about a half mile away. Don't get too close to the Ark of the Covenant because it represents God's power and presence. A couple of times, I'm reading my way through the Old Testament again, a couple of times people reach out and touch it, or I just read recently this week that they were curious about what's inside the stone tablets and the jar of manna, and about 70 of them looked into the Ark of the Covenant, and they all died. So, like, it's okay to be curious, but, you know, stay back for about a half mile. And it reminds us that we should fear God in a healthy way, that we should hold him in deep reverence and awe. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 10. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him." Being strong and courageous requires fearing God in that healthy way. God is so much greater than we are. He's so much stronger, so much wiser. He is a holy God. We dare not approach him carelessly. We dare not play fast and loose with his commands. So in a healthy way, we fear God and humble ourselves in his presence. How can we trust God before we know the end of the story? Here's a good place to begin. We fear God, and we do what he tells us to do. Now, as followers of Jesus, we're not scared of God because we know his heart. We know that he loves us. We know that he has gone to great lengths to rescue us. What is the heart of God toward us? If you've watched The Chosen, you know the answer, right? What's the heart of God toward us? In a one word, Jesus shows us the heart of God. In his first letter to the churches, the Apostle John tells us, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment." When we experience God's forgiveness in Christ, as we come to understand God's love for us, as we align our life with God's plan for us, this maturing love drives out fear. Love for God and a deep sense of awe enable us to trust God even before we know the end of the story. As they were about to enter the land of promise, there were more special instructions that Joshua had for them. Back to chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Get ready. Prepare yourselves. So what does it mean for people to consecrate themselves to God? It's a word we don't use very often. They're to prepare themselves physically and spiritually to enter what God has for them. Okay, we're ready, God. Lead on. What would happen if all of us would consecrate ourselves to the Lord before we gather for worship on a weekend? What would happen if all of us would take time on Saturday, Saturday night, Sunday morning to prepare ourselves to hear from God? What if all of us came prayed up? What if early on Sunday morning we would pray and ask God, who should I talk to today? Who needs my encouragement? What does your Holy Spirit have to say to me today? I wonder, what would it be like if every time we gathered, we would take time to prepare ourselves, to consecrate ourselves to the Lord? Oh, and by the way, can you do that before you go to work on Monday? I think that's allowed. Let's consecrate ourselves to the Lord. And you won't believe where God is taking them next. Joshua 3, verse 7, and the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Go and stand in the river. That's pretty simple, right? But in the next few verses, Joshua explains in more detail what this means for the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the Israelites and stand in the middle of the river. Joshua 3, verse 15. Now the Jordan River is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carry the Ark reach the Jordan and their feet touch the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. By the way, 2 to 5 million people. Big group, right? The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Wow. How did they know they would not drown? Seen pictures of it, and this is in flood stage. It's like the Cattaraugus Creek after several days of rain, right? It's muddy. It's got a dangerous current. How do the priests know that they're going to be able to survive this? And the answer is they don't, right? They have to trust this God who said to them, be strong and courageous, for I will be with you wherever you go. We heard that last week. Do you believe it? Be strong and courageous, for I will be with you wherever you go, before you know the end of the story. And as we step off the shore into the unknown, do we trust God? Now, this is an exercise of faith for Joshua, for the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and for the people who are crossing the Jordan River. And don't miss the significance of this in the early days of Joshua's leadership, right? This is Red Sea, part two, right? Remember the story of the Red Sea? Pharaoh's army came after them. They were trapped. And God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and they crossed in safety. And this is very much like that. It's not the Red Sea. It's the Jordan River. And it's not Moses, but it's Joshua. And God had promised to be with Joshua as he was with Moses. And here they are, Red Sea, part two. Here's proof that God is with Joshua in this new generation. How can we trust God before we know the end of the story? Just a few thoughts to share with you. God does not ask us to trust a stranger. He's gone to great lengths to show us and tell us what he is like, what is in his heart. We find him in the pages of the Bible. We find him in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. You never have to wonder what God thinks of you. God is crazy about you. He's crazy about you. He's a God that we can trust even before we know the end of the story. How can we trust God before we know the end of the story? Over time, we develop the habit of obeying God. It's what we do. So when a time of testing comes, and it will, we keep at it. We obey God again. We obey Him even when we don't know how things will turn out. How can we trust God before we know the end of the story? We follow the example of the priests and we take the next step. They didn't get ahead of themselves. They didn't pull out their swords or their hair. They just stepped into the river. They took the next step. That's what God wants us to do. Don't get ahead of yourselves. Just take the next step. So we see this people, children whose parents died in the desert for the disobedience, we see them step out in faith. And how is it all going to turn out? Well, you'll have to come back next week. That's why we call this series To Be Continued, because the story is still being put together. We don't know how it's all going to turn out. We don't know how your story is going to turn out. It's to be continued. In Joshua chapter 4, we read about what happened when they crossed the river at flood stage. Joshua 4:24, it says, God did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Do you suppose anybody who was there ever forgot what happened on that day? Ever. Something that would be part of their story going forward. They would never forget seeing the hand, the strong hand of God. He did this to remind His people that He is God and we are not. He never wanted them to forget that reverent respect and that they would choose His ways and enter into life. So how can we trust God before we know the end of the story? Because we're discovering who God is. We're reading our Bibles. We're becoming students of the Bible. We don't worship the Bible, but it helps us discover who God is. We see in Jesus a perfect picture of God. We see the heart of God, that He is for us, that He loves us, that He went to such great lengths to rescue us. And we cultivate the habit of obedience. We take the next step. That's what we can do. We take the next step and trust that God will continue to be who He has been. So, I don't know where you are in your story. I have no idea what challenges you are facing. But I encourage you to put your faith and trust in God, to fear Him, to hold Him in reverence and awe, to get to know Him better. It's hard to trust a stranger, right? You don't have to. He doesn't have to be a stranger. You can get to know the heart and mind of God and then just take the next step. We have a custom in Bayview Chapel that whenever we hear the Word of God spoken, we always take a moment, because you know what happens at the end of the service. We talk to our friends and we think about having a burrito for lunch. You know, kind of breaks the spell, right? So we always take a quiet moment to ask the Spirit of God to speak to us. What am I to do with what I've heard today? How is God speaking to me? Is there some specific thing, some specific step that I'm supposed to take? So I'm going to give you a quiet moment just to bring yourself into the presence of God and listen to what He's saying to you today. And then I'm going to pray for us. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your presence here with us today. Your presence gives us strength and courage because we don't know the end of the story. But we do know You. And we trust You, and we love You. I pray that You would give us courage for the next step, that You give us grace enough for today. I pray that we might obey You to do what you tell us to do, and put ourselves in a place where you can strengthen us and give us courage. We hold you in deep reverence. We humble ourselves before you. We worship you, our great God. And we thank you for the way that you have spoken and the way that you are speaking to us today. Help us to listen and to respond in joyful obedience. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.